Live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the greater North Americas, it's time for Gotta Say It with Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan. The only sports show that goes around the stats, cause stats are boring. And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan.
And welcome back to GSI Cast. I'm Matthew Ryan. No, I'm Marvin Williams.
Yes, you're Marvin Williams.
You're Matthew Aloysius Octavius Orenthal Gerard Ron, the 14th and a half and a third.
I still will never understand how you remember all of that. Do you have it written down?
Mine is a steel trap. Rusted shut. And I like saying those words.
That makes more sense than the
okay,
other one.
Okay, all right, gotcha. So again, we're GSI casting from you from parts unknown. We just took the bag off of Matthew's head to get the equipment going, and
you know you don't have to keep kidnapping me to do the show. You can just say, hey, we can knock these out on this day. Can you come to the office?
Okay, I hired the guys. I got a 2-year contract. So I got them for 2 years. They came with hoods, ropes, twist ties, soap, and a used dialysis machine. Come on. I mean,
That is a good deal. You know, that's better than the rates Pookie and Ray used to give you.
Oh, totally. Totally. So, you know.
And that's family.
You know, and it was great about these guys don't wear pants. So it's even easier just to, you know, they have the van that's already tagged. And, you know, we just drive down dark streets until we see you. And then it's just a lot more fun that way.
I need to stop walking along dark streets at night.
You know,
even in the middle of the afternoon, they're all dark. What are you doing? You're shooting them out?
You live in Brooklyn, man. Everything's dark. So, you know, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. You know.
Jesus.
And speaking of not my fault, the NL East. Okay. I have two favorite baseball teams. We know my main favorite baseball team lives in
Boston.
And they are the Boston Red Sox-apolitans. And my other default favorite team, because I grew up with them, is the
Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braveologies. So here's the thing.
Can I take a class in Atlanta Braveology?
I think we all should. Because quite frankly, they're doing stuff I didn't think they could do this year.
Like grow a farm system?
And lead their division.
First of all, it's May.
Yes.
Second of all, have you seen the National League East? But it's two good teams and three dumpster fires. So you just...
Yes.
You're hedging your bets on a little bit of a wide margin.
But you know what it is? It's the way they're doing it. It's the way they're doing it. It's the way... And this is no disrespect to what's going on with the Mets right now because...
Disrespect them all you want.
It's when you ask Terry Collins... The Mets manager turned into Jerry Manuel. I was listening to...
What is it about that job that gets rid of people's social skills?
I think it's the asbestos in the office. I swear.
It's a new ballpark.
I think it's the asbestos in the office. I don't care if it's a new ballpark. Because Terry Collins was so articulate. He was so this. He was well-sourced. He would even say cool stuff like, yeah, baby. And so, and now I listened to his press conference, and they asked him, like, why did you bring in Rick Ankiel with no notice, no warning? You sign him.
I know why they did it.
Why, please?
1999, NLDS.
Okay.
St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
New York Mets.
Right.
They're getting the juju off.
Well, you know what? The juju. I can't believe I don't think I've ever said juju before. I think the juju just got on thicker. Rick Ankiel, speaking of grease fires, and you know I like him. You know I like him. He's worked very hard to turn himself from a pitcher to an outfielder. But it was like, oh my goodness gracious. And then they asked Terry Collins, and his answer was, well, you know, when I see and I feel, you know, and I look at the team, and when you think about it, it took him almost a minute to get out of a complete partial sentence. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? And you and I had this conversation at the end of last season. You and I had this conversation about, okay, it looks like the Mets are doing what they're supposed to do. Looks like they're going to keep David Wright. They're going to make the move. They're going to build a team, this, that, and the third, and whatever. And it looked like with the young talent that was there, that everything was going to be okay. And if nothing else, the Mets would be respectable. If nothing else, if I recall our conversations, I think that's where we were kind of leaning. Because it was looking kind of good.
They seemed 2-3 years away from a pennant run.
Right. But at least a year away from respectability.
Yeah.
And now, so I get the Mets as a grease fire. I get Miami as a non-fire because the Miami, what are they? The Miami Hurricanes?
The Sound Machine.
The Miami Sound Machines are not even going to be in Miami probably after this year.
And we had this discussion before we locked mics, and what's your inclination on that? Like, why do you think the Marlins will be in parts unknown, weight unknown sometime soon?
It appears to me from ownership conversations, even though they just built that stadium for those guys, the conversations about where the stadium is, the travel time to the stadium, you know, all the things they bring up, the same thing they did with the Devils, the safety issue of where the stadium is, blah, yada, blah, yada,
they
blah,
spent
yada, blah.
A decade trying to find the perfect place for that ballpark.
And then they got it. And quite frankly, and okay,
it was either that or the swamp that's now Sun Life Stadium.
Look, you know, our listeners know, we never call for people's job. We never call for anyone's job.
I'm close to calling for a couple people.
We never say that someone's doing a bad job on purpose. We try not to say that. But I really feel, and listeners of GSI Nation who listen to us for years now, I'm going to apologize for how this is going to come out. I really feel that the owner of the Miami Sound Machine or whatever they are has a deal on the table for them to go someplace else.
Jeffrey Loria assassinates Major League Baseball teams. He did it to Montreal.
Yes.
He.
People forget that, though.
He gutted that team, set them up for a brand new ballpark, screwed that up, took away a good franchise. And now they're an even better franchise, but that's not the point.
Right. The point is what
that's
he did.
That's not the point.
What he did, he pulled the Carl Icahn. He came in, raided the corporation, left it as a shell, took what he gained to do something else somewhere else. And what does he do? They win a World Series, guts the team. Win a World Series, guts the team. It's like that's his sort of thing. And now that people are tired of it, probably. I don't know. We don't know what's going on the other side, so we can't say this for sure. But here's what it feels like. When you look at it, the way he's talking about treating that team right now, they've closed the top half of the stadium because they're not selling enough tickets. And he's not exactly pushing. The best thing they had going for them was they had the guys, the chubby guys that would do dance. I don't mean chubby in a negative way, but they had guys who were kind of oversized who would go do the dances. The crowds love those guys. He stopped them.
They have no reason for anybody to go to that ballpark. There's no inclination.
Why should I care if my owner doesn't care?
Exactly. And that's my problem with the Wilpon family.
Right.
They care. They obviously care.
I think so.
But it's the same kind of caring that a deadbeat dad has.
Wow. That's really hard. Yeah, but I get your point. Like, okay, Mets, I gave you a check. That should be enough.
The Mets are a part of the Lifetime Spouses Club of sports teams.
Wow.
And I've...
Wow. Wow, that's deeper than the social trust statement you made in the earlier podcast.
It's exacerbating. It's such a thing to buy a team and not care about it like the Pittsburgh Pirate owners did.
Right.
But then there's another thing to establish care.
Right.
Establish the idea.
Bring in rings. Bring in titles.
Of not only that, but just reestablishing the fan base and giving them... Because the Mets in the 90s were terrible.
Yeah.
Under the Doubleday management and ownership, the Mets were bad. But and then the Wilpons bought in.
But who was... But okay, before the Wilpons, please don't lose your thought. Who was really calling the shots, though?
I have no... I'm too young to remember, so...
Maybe that's the... Not the problem is you're too young. The problem is there was no one really calling the shots.
It ended up being Steve Phillips, and...
We all know where that got us. got us Bobby Valentine. Sorry.
But you have this valuable product.
Right.
This multi-billion dollar product now with SNY, the ballpark, the whole marketing bonanza that is the New York Mets.
Right.
And you find new and interesting ways to not only devalue that, but depress and compress your fan base. They built Citi Field, which is beautiful.
Right. Citibank Robert Field.
And they turned it into this weird pseudo-museum, pseudo-mall that is exactly what you would think the Mets ownership would build a ballpark around.
Creepy circus.
Yeah.
That's what that when I think of the Mets, and I think of Citibank Robert Field, I think of the creepy circus. You know, the circus with the guy with two heads and the second head talks more than the first head, that kind of thing. And here's why I say this, and this is leading us back to why we're talking about the NL East. The Braves leading the NL East right now, the way they are doing it, the baseball that they are playing, all that young talent is showing me that for whatever reason, people aren't buying tickets for the Braves either. Atlanta never sells out. They can sell out a World Series game. Come on, be serious. So here is a team like the Mets, like the Miami Sound Machine, Philadelphia, that's all you do is go to Philadelphia, you go baseball, you get drunk, and then you go to Flyers game. Washington, I'm not sure what happened with the Washington. Like, they sell out for a week, and then they don't sell out at all.
It's very...
Yeah, it's up and down. It's like up and down. You know, I guess it's like the whole... You
it,
know,
it just fits in with the culture of Washington.
Probably so. So, which is kind of like LA-ish. Yeah. So, but Atlanta, in the same sort of situation, not selling out, not a lot of corporate support, not a lot of local support, but they're managing to play through it and play some pretty darn good baseball. And play some pretty darn good... My brother Larry, who is a diehard Braves fan, when they announced Gonzalez taking over from Bobby Cox, we had to call SWAT, the state troopers, and the Holy Sisters of the Poor to come pull him out of the basement. He loaded up his shotgun and said, he's not coming out till a real manager takes over that team. And when they had that implosion that happened on the worst day of my baseball life, when the same day that the Boston Red Sox and the Atlanta Braves gave up the largest leads ever lost to miss the playoffs, he said, I told you, where's my shotgun? Now, he's excited. And for those of you who don't know about my brother Larry could be standing on the earth, surrounded by dinosaurs, the meteorite hits, and everybody's flipping out, and he would say, this could be trouble. And that's about the highest his heart rate. Was that a snort?
Yes.
Nice. That's about the highest his heart rate and blood pressure would ever get. This could be trouble.
But so when it gets to baseball or sports, game on.
And when he got excited about the Braves this year, I actually had to start tuning in. Because I said, wow, if he's saying that in spring training, and he never gets excited about spring training. I was like, okay, he sees something. And it's coming out true. And I'm just really wondering, talking about the culture of winning, are maybe the Braves not that far away from sort of recouping that culture of winning? Yes, I know it was only one World Series title. I get there and they went there so many times. Listen, please.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Just to put this culture
making it to the dance counts.
This culture of winning that has now surrounded the Braves for more than 20 years, is it coming back? Is it for real? Because if it does, man, the Mets... whoever takes over the Miami Sound Machine team and Philadelphia, who is now turning into a grease fire themselves, the NL East is going to be in trouble. And speaking of the NL East, we're going to talk about the other East, because that's something else that's bionically weird too. It become more than just a creepy circus. Here on our Gotta Say It cast with Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Ryan, I'm Dr. Marvin Williams saying yo.
Hey folks, this is Matt Ryan, producer of GSI and overall nice person. You can follow GSI on Twitter at Gotta Say It Radio. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Gotta Say It, or you can go to our website, gottasayitradio.webs.com, for that and more information. Also, you can email us anytime you want, gottasayitradio@gmail.com, except for 4 a.m. Who emails someone at 4 a.m.? Seriously.
We're back with the GSI cast along with Matthew.
Yo.
I'm him. So, speaking of the East, staying in the East, because we're going to get to the West eventually. But the Yanks and the Sox. The Yanks have Derek Jeter out. Alex Rodriguez out. Babe Ruth is out.
He's been out for nearly 90 years.
That long? It didn't show up on my DLL report. You
well,
sure?
Well, because he's dead.
I'm dead?
Yeah, passed away. Joined the choir Invisible.
Oh, he's not on the unable to perform list?
No, he's not on the pup list. He's not on the up list.
Wow, I need to update my computer. Hold on a second. Let me get a rock. But you have these guys who, give or take, potential Hall of Famers, whatever the common phrase is now, amongst other key members of that, what is it? The Yankee payroll is $748 gazillion.
If you carry a couple of ones and you use your GSI abacus.
And guess where they are? Oh, first place with a bunch of cats no one heard of. You know who's celebrating the most?
Joe Girardi.
Nope. Dallas the Donuts is Brian Cashman, the general manager. Because you know what he's been getting now his whole time. Oh, you just write checks. You just get the big players. You just get this. You don't really have to do talent. You know, the Yankees don't have a minor league system. Yada, yada, blah, blah, yada, yada. And now what are the Yankees doing without all those cats who are getting those big checks, all those big names? They're winning.
It's still May, though. And I understand that. And I understand the Yankees have been doing good with what they have. And they've been turning, you know, coals into gold and all that. But yet again, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer.
No,
but
be Debbie Downer.
It's May. A lot of the teams that caught fire last year caught fire in the AL East after the All-Star break.
Right.
Toronto's a brand new team, pretty much, from top to bottom. Jose Reyes has been buggy.
100%.
And Baltimore, they're a team that really finds their stride in weird places. And while the Yankees are great and the Red Sox are, you know,
doing a lot, and you know,
lot better than we thought they would be.
You know, I even refuse to mention our ex-manager's name. So I'm really, really happy with what the Red Sox are doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to happen this fast that they would even be second. I figured the Red Sox this year would be like ninth in the division of four. So that the Yankees are doing this too. I'll go back to this. Mr. Ryan is absolutely correct, though he has been disoriented because of how we got him to this location.
They hit me with a cricket bat.
Oh, I said the tennis racket, Guido. Tennis. Yeah, that one. Thank you. Be gentle. We need him to think. Who's going to work the computer? These guys. Yeah. Hey, you know, 2-year lease. that we have this Yankee team right now, and it is May, but it's the way they're playing in May. There are guys who are learning. Some guys, correct me if I'm wrong, they have players on the Yankees right now who are learning to play in the major leagues.
Oh, yeah. These are a lot of guys' first starts, first shifts. And I don't watch Yankee baseball. I barely even watch Met baseball because I can't. It's not about watching the game anymore. It's about getting the engrossed feeling of caring. And I can't care anymore about teams that I'll watch the playoffs.
Right.
I may watch the All-Star game, even it falls upon my birthday.
Awesome.
At Citi Field.
You gotta go.
What money?
Yeah, you go.
And
which is something else.
Yeah.
Your ownership gets wrong.
Don't get me started. We talked about it in our second or third episode.
Yes, we did.
And I just cannot believe in these teams unless they prove something to me. And I respect the Yankees franchise.
Yes.
Mickey Mantle's one of my favorite players of all time.
Yes, absolutely.
But you're just not going to get me to care.
Okay. Right here. What would it take you to care about a team like the Yankees?
The teams that I like are the 77 Yankees, you know, the teams that just, they feel like something different. That they have this cultural hegemony that hegemony, however you pronounce it, that creates something completely different.
Right.
A dystopic shift in the not just the way the game is played, but how the game is perceived.
Right.
Everything feels so so gray. Baseball feels so gray to me.
It's corporate now.
It's not even that. It's
you don't
just,
think so?
No, it is that. No, I'm not disputing that. Yeah, but just like the Washington Nationals got me excited last year.
Right, yeah. New young kid, great arm, new team, manager that was, what, 147 years old, coming back, teaching baseball. You know where my heart is with you know. So, right, they felt different. The Phillies had that for a minute, and I know that's hard to
admit. I would never.
I know you never say it, but.
No, I know it's not that I would never say it. I disagree to a certain extent because. They traded for a lot of their big arms.
Right.
They basically cut and slashed their way to a championship.
Yeah.
And I just...
But in that moment, though...
They got lucky.
But okay, here we go.
I'm going to say it right here now, because if you look at the results past that, they got lucky.
But once again, I'm going to go back and marry your 77 Yankees thing with this. How did they get Jackson? How did they get those guys? See what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing, but it's not about how they get them. It's what they do with them to create something bigger.
And see, here's what I mean. And I'm going to say this as a Braves fan. Those years that the Phillies did back to, what did it back to back?
They made an 08 and 09, won an 08, lost an 09.
Right. That Philly team there, that felt like if they kept that team together, it felt like there were going to be something different for a long time. Nobody saw Ryan Howard falling off the bandwagon the way he did. Nobody saw the injuries with Rollins the way it was going to come. You know, you can see that stuff happening. But for just a moment, the Phillies were it in the NL East. The Phillies were...
Because there was nothing else.
There was nothing else, but... And I go back to this. The way they were doing what they were doing, when you look at the way that they were winning... They were winning with big ball. They were winning with little ball. And guess what? Someone different was stepping up every night. Yes. But the core was solid that year. You're talking cats who had MVP seasons. And it wasn't just one. Like, you didn't worry about, oh, when Ryan Howard comes up, there's going to be trouble. Or when Jimmy Rollins comes up, it's going to be trouble. Or when
Chase Utley.
You know, it was like, you know, you started thinking, these guys could kind of do something. And not every team can kind of maintain that over the course of multiple seasons now because the game is different. You know, we're never going to see another Big Red Machine. We're never going to see another powerhouse like the Bronx Bombers, the real Bronx Bombers. You know, and you know I'm not a Yankees person. You know I'm not a Yankees fan. You know, but so you know when I say this, it comes from a place of true truth. When I say, when you talk about the Yankees with Ruth and Garrick and we talk, we're not going to see that anymore. The game is different now. And here's the corporate comment.
And also because the game is larger.
Here we go. I love this. This is perfect. See, agreeing with the game is larger point, I see it as different. And I'll tell you how. The days of going to a game for the game or for the match are dead. Doesn't happen anymore. These stadiums are malls. They're entertainment arenas. They're everything. And oh, by the way, while you're here, since you paid $290 to sit up in the nosebleed seats, if you care to look out to your right or left, there are 18 guys playing professional sports, give or take. Right? So we have this idea about Major League Baseball, professional football, as, quite frankly, if we pull the core, and when I say the core, the fans like you and I, who are about the numbers and the stats and what's going on and what's happening, you pull us out of it, the probably only sport that would come close to maybe surviving would be football. No, rephrase, basketball. Because even people who don't like sports like basketball. And I know that didn't come out right, but I think you know what I mean.
Because it's a culturally engrossing thing.
You can see the guys' faces.
Not only can you see the guys' faces, but it's easy to market. The uniforms are easy.
Legs, baby.
It's It's flesh, it's face, and it's an easy to understand game.
Right.
Five dudes, end, basket.
Put the ball in the basket. Put up. I don't have to worry about squeeze plays, bump plays, double fake, trip off plays, relay plays. You know, I ain't got to worry about that.
Because the one thing you want to get, if you're a professional league, because hardcore fans are going to come.
Right.
You want kids.
Yep.
You want women.
Yeah.
You want the casual person that will watch it one day a year.
100,000%. And to show you how our culture is so upside down, what is the biggest sport in the world?
Soccer.
Football, that's right. But yet and still, you have to pay people to go to games here. Why is that? Because we don't have them in. We like the flash, the glitz, and the glam. And you know this as well as I do. When the Super Bowl starts, everybody's all into it. How many Super Bowl parties have you went to that by the time you get to the...
I've changed venues at halftime. This year, I went to one place for the Super Bowl, ended up at a bar across town to watch the rest of the game, and I was one of the few people that was... Everybody was watching it intensely,
right?
But watching every play, every nuance, I was, you know, doing my usual backseat.
It's like a club.
Yeah.
It's the creepy circus. You go, you get your fun at the start, all excitement, then it wears off. Halftime show, you're back into it again. After halftime, nobody cares until when? The end of the game. No matter how you got there. And you see, here's what I say. When you see the Yankees doing what they're doing, and you see the Sox doing what they're doing, and both are unexpected, I'm going to say, both are unexpected given their situations. One, because half their squad is at the senior care rehab center of Flushing, New York, or wherever New York that the Yankees go to hang out and get better, and the Sox are in Boston. So you got all this stuff going on, and these two teams are managing to go 1-2 in the AL East at this particular time speaks to the strength of those organizations as well as the teams. Now, we'll see if they're going to maintain it. I get your point. Yes, it's May. But it's the way they're doing it in May that lets me know that these guys can probably sustain it. And yes, in this particular case, except for two people, they're all guys. So there you go.
I'm trying to give baseball a chance. I try every year, but baseball's broken my heart more times than any other sport, aside from probably football. Because hockey, you get being a Ranger fan and growing up in post-lockout NHL and the...
Juliana Margulies.
Yeah.
Juliana Margulies. That's what baseball is. Juliana Margulies. Here's a story. Biggest crush I've ever had. Of the two biggest crushes I've ever had, Juliana Margulies was one. And I don't know why. I have no reason why. And she was brilliant and beautiful, ribs me for this all the time. At one particular point, a buddy decided to introduce me to Juliana Margulies. I was playing a corporate winery event or whatever in L.A. or West Coast.
I'm Marvin Williams. I get to play corporate winery events.
Yeah, bougie. And so here is my chance.
Sell out.
Here is my chance to meet Juliana Margulies. A 7-minute conversation that felt like 14 years. Why? One of the most uninteresting people I've ever said. You know I never talk about people in public. You know I never do this.
She's an empty vessel. She's an attractive actress.
So here's what happens. I gave up on Juliana Margulies. Then she gets to show The Good Wife years later. She was brilliant and beautiful, knows the story because she's been told it so many times. So she ribs me every chance she gets. You know, I tried to watch The Good Wife.
Yeah.
I tried.
Didn't get into it?
Dude.
You couldn't separate it, could you?
I liked it when she wasn't on the screen. And it wasn't even personal. It was much more interesting the scenes that she weren't in. I liked the investigator, what's her name, better than I liked Juliana Margulies. So there you go. That's baseball. Baseball to Juliana Margulies. He's Matthew Ryan. I'm not. Again, thank you for listening to Gotta Say It, our GSI cast. You can follow us at gotsayitradio.webs.com. On Twitter, at GSI Radio.
Gotta Say It Radio.
At Gotta Say It Radio. And gotsayitradio@gmail.com. Feel free to listen, download, or just touch the minds of myself and Matthew. And absolutely give us a shout out whenever you feel like it. We love it more if you actually disagree. We're in Brooklyn eventually. And we go hard.
This has been a presentation of the GSI Radio Network.